FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
This episode of the Financial Survival Network is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and on the New York Stock Exchange American as SAND.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 11/20/18. Well, more trouble for autos, more trouble for the economy, GE turning to junk almost before our very eyes, but we've known it's been junk since the crash of 08, and yet we like to deceive ourselves and think everything is fine, but everything is not. Hey, with us now is Gordon T. Long, but before that, just remember, if you want to participate and be a part of the show, email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. Gordon, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Kerry. Always enjoy our conversations.
Hey, so we heading for a recession? What's going on here?
No, the question is, are we in one? No, I'm being all negative, but yeah, without question I'm on that. I think the bigger question is it going to be global, and how soon does it arrive? Mm. And all of our analysis, Kerry says, it's being pulled forward at a faster rate than we thought. I would have argued it was late 2019. Possibly early 2020, but and it's being brought up. And the proof in that, we do a lot of work, as you well know, sure, in the credit arena. You mentioned autos. You know, that's where we get it. We go through from the autos and look at what's happening with their whole credit structures and what will happen with sales, et cetera. But at looking at the credit, we've seen this, and it turned out what GE mentioned, when GE has really been a catalyst of an industry that's already in trouble. By credit, I'm talking about all of the high yield junk market and even the investment grade down at the triple B level, who've been the place to make money for quite some time because they just weren't rolling over. But when energy started to go south, and these are the big users, the energy sector of high yield debt, leveraged loans, et cetera, we really started to see it crack. And then when GE broke it and was downgraded, and there's more of that to come. And, you know, Kerry, it all feeds off something I think we've talked about before, the magnitude of zombie corporations that are out there that are living on debt. And as these interest rates have steadily moved up, and specifically LIBOR, it is just crippling. And there's so many companies on the verge. I mean, the amount of leveraged loans that outstanding, I mean, even the IMF of all people are warning about leveraged loans, Covlite, PIX, you know, all of these things that we've had. It reminds me of 2008, where we were, remember, it was all about residential housing, but it was collateralized debt obligations, CDOs, and that they were supported by credit default swaps. Well, now it's not CDOs, it's CLOs, collateralized loan obligations. Oh, we just changed the initials, but they're not for, it's not the consumer, it's the corporations themselves. That, to me, the big short that's coming is in these corporations. It's a serious issue. It's not imminent, but you're seeing the cracks down at the high yield. Didn't mean to get long-winded, Kerry, but you're on a critically important subject.
Mm-hmm. So what about the tax cut? It was supposed to fix everything. What's been the effect of it?
I'm a big believer in tax cuts, but when you cut the taxes, you have to cut expenses somewhere else to offset it. We just borrowed the money. So effectively what it has created for us is just a sugar high. That's what we're running on, and we're running out of time unless we have another tax cut. because we just didn't reduce our expenses. We've just increased everything. And, you know, the good news is we got a real good shot in the GDP on the surface, but it's not I don't believe it's sustainable at all. And by the way, you know, the United States, it's a global economy around the world now. It's a global economy that's slowing up. And it's only a matter of time before we feel it. We're actually the best economy in the world right now.
Yeah. What about the political situation? Is that adding to this? Or is it?
Well, I spent a lot of time talking to the international group, and they can't make head or tails out of America. We're losing tremendous credibility as a country because of our policies and at least the perception of Washington and our and being aggressive, being very aggressive. You know, I'm a big supporter of fair trade. And many of the policies that Trump's pushing in, I think, are absolutely sound for business. But, you know, the wave of subpoenas and gridlock that we're going to see in my assessment next year and a half is going to astound everybody. And I think investors are seeing that and are worried about it. Mm-hmm. And they're seeing the crimp being put down and therefore the U.S. economy being really pulled in, if you would. Mm-hmm. You know, the deregulations that Trump's been doing, you know, cutting seven for every one. I mean, that's all going to reverse.
Actually, it's not going to reverse in the next year or two for the simple reason that he's still president. He's in charge of the executive and they'll keep cutting. What's going to happen in 2020 after that is anybody's guess. But for now, the regulations are going to continue to be cut. And, you know, as far as stalemate subpoenas, I think a lot of that's overblown. Well, we don't even know who's going to be the Speaker of the House yet, do we?
No, we don't. Exactly. Mm-hmm. No, I do agree there. There's a little bit. My point is where I'm coming from is there's a perception out there that's troubling a lot of investors.
Yeah, well, that'll probably pass. That will come to pass in January. You know, everyone always comes in there all gung-ho to do their thing, with the exception of Trump. Nobody's ever done it. You know, I think the country lost a lot of credibility and a lot of prestige overseas from our last administration. And it's been really, it's a process that's been ongoing for a generation. Since Reagan, really the country's kind of been on a downward slope.
Yeah, around the world, business people do not see Trump negatively. They see Washington negatively, and there's a difference there.
Very true.
And
in the country
they see what we're doing as all positive in terms of economic growth and being a real engine of growth. So the policies are sound. And the first president we've seen since at least Ronald Reagan, and even him, I don't think we saw as much of actually following through and what they said they would do and trying to run the country like a business. And results matter. But it seems at the midterm that people didn't vote for results. They voted for personality and culture or something.
There was a lot of fraud going on there, Gordon, a lot of fraud in that election. So
it's always the same place. My wife says, "What's going on in this Broward County?" She says,
"That's right down the road from me." And, you know, the woman was totally corrupt and totally incompetent, which is always a dangerous combination. You could have incompetence or you could have corrupt. But when the two are there together, forget about it. And you know what? Hey, she just handed in her resignation. Like, that's going to make a difference. Broward County is a laughing stock, you know? So it will be interesting to see where we go from here. But certainly we're due for a recession, aren't we?
Without question on the surface, Kerry, but never, ever underestimate what governments and politicians will do. And you can count on them to spend more money. Mm-hmm. The moment they even smell that things are slowing down, and they do, and the Fed knows this right now, things will reverse, and they will spend the money, and suddenly we'll be cranking back the interest rates. We won't call it quantitative easing, as we thought it'll be QE for the people or something like this, and we will be pushing out more money, and we'll turn around. I think there's a more, much, quite a bit more left in the stock market, by the way, as negative as I might sound here on the surface. Mm-hmm. And last time I was on with you, we were talking about, if you recall, shrinking pools, stock pools,
yeah,
that were going on, the size of the numbers of listings that are out there, the number size of pools, restrictive stocks, et cetera. That hasn't gone away. Mm-hmm. And I see the amount of money that's still going into these companies, not into equity, into debt structures. And yeah, where I'm going on this is specifically private equity money. Mm-hmm. There's a massive debt for equity swap going on here, yeah, in the market. And that is, you know, the equity markets have basically become extraction. It's money coming out, mm-hmm, to, in terms of buybacks, dividends, being rich, leverage buyouts. It's money being returned and pulled out of the equity. The money going in is going into debt, which is funding this. Mm-hmm. And it's the holders of the debt instruments now, in many ways, Carrie, are the new owners. I know that equity owners own the company, but really it's the guys who have been lending the money, and they're coming in huge terms, and it's private equity money. That's why you're not seeing IPOs anymore. Markets are not about raising capital anymore. They're a different transmission mechanism. And so, you know, you got these private equity companies. We got the top four have $1 trillion. The industry's got 10 trillion. I have reliable sources saying that, mm-hmm, they now have either ownership of or control of over half of all the S&P 500, and that's a dated, it much, yeah, higher. And if you've ever sat in a boardroom session, you'll really understand it isn't the number of equity holders that are there. It's, mm-hmm, the debt holders who have the biggest say in the meeting because it's more immediate. And, yeah, the reason I say this debt for equity, the big money, you know, the mm-hmm, CEOs and boards are shorter term, this quarter, next quarter, et cetera. So the ideas drive the stocks up. That's why you have the buybacks, the return of dividends, right, keep the stocks up so you're not taken over or you can use your currency for a buyout. So we know that whole game. It's been going on. The smarter money is the money that's coming in and supplying them the debt. And as you know, when a company gets into troubles, no matter what, even if it's not making any money, the debt holders are always, mm-hmm, paid. They get their 6 or 8% or whatever, sure, every month. And when the company finally goes under, if it goes under, they're the ones that get the buildings, the chairs, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I'm not assuming they're going under. So the smart money sees a major recession coming. They see, mm-hmm, the end of the super cycle coming. And that they believe that the money to hold is to be the holders of the debt to a, mm-hmm, in a guarded manner. I got to be really, really careful here. You've got to make sure that you've got enough true collateral and earning power. Yeah. Effectively, Carrie, what they're using the corporations as addicted drug users, and they're selling, mm-hmm, them the drugs, and the drugs being the debt. And then what happens is the guys are addicted. They start selling drugs themselves. And so the money is in the pusher, and the, right, pusher here is being the users of the debt. They effectively are going to own the companies. And for those that can remember the Great Depression, sure, you know, guess what? Everybody lost their farms, et cetera. In bad times, who was it? It was the bad guys were the banks, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody hated the banks and et cetera. This time, it's not the banks per se that are lending the money, though, through leveraged loans, mm, and CDOs, it's these large private equity and institutions, and, mm-hmm, to some degree, insurance companies and pensions. Right. I don't know if I made sense there, Carrie.
Yeah, but it makes a lot of sense.
There'll be books written about this, the degree that this is going on, and the proof is in. Just look at the growth, right, of true zombie corporations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's not a U.S. phenomenon. It's around the world. And you and I had discussions on the magnitude of this in China. That's a different, sure, story. But the zombies are there in even a bigger manner.
For sure.
And by the way, just on that, just let me finish up with the China, with these companies now daisy chaining their debt and share pledging, and the amount of money that they have now lent that's U.S. dollar denominated. Mm-hmm. And with the dollar strengthening and the yuan being pulled down, and I think there's a major devaluation coming there. Yeah. Think of how many of there's $750 billion of U.S. denominated debt that's going to be hard hit into this daisy chaining of debt, correct, in these Chinese corporations. So, I mean, to be negative here, but, you know, to your listeners, the thing to watch right now is the credit markets. and where there's credit, but it's not the equities. The equities, I think there's still more left there.
You think?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
So we're just at the beginning of this whole thing, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Actually are. I think there's a, maybe overstating it, there's a good chance of a Minsky melt-up because, Kerry, we have $82 trillion worth of unfunded liabilities in the United States alone, $400 trillion worth of pensions around the world, vast majority are underfunded.
Right.
Now, we can't finance $21 trillion thereabouts in deficit right now with interest rates going up. What are we going to do? We're not going to walk from Social Security and Medicare. Oh, there'll be restrictions and means testing. But we've got trillions and trillions of dollars. The only way you're going to do that is you're going to have to print the money. You're going to have to guarantee because you can't have pension plans collapsing in terms of equity prices going down. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see new forms, in my mind, of guarantees and even buying like Japan's doing, like Swiss central banks are doing, our central banks buying equities to support the whole infrastructure. It's financial repression we're in financial repression in our early stages. And if you believe that, or if you believe there's some semblance of that, it really helps you with an investment strategy going forward.
So what is the strategy?
I think the central banks are completely trapped.
So what's
I don't
the strategy?
Think they have any choice.
What's the strategy going ahead, Gordon? What do you do? How do you protect yourself against this nonsense?
Well, one of the things, I think the equities will continue to go up, but you know that they're going to come in and drive down the buy the bonds back, et cetera. So you know that interest rates will be attempted to be brought back at least initially and aggressively. And you're on a 30-year bond at, let's say you get 3.5% right now and you take it down to, 1%, 2.5% on 30 years, you're talking 70% capital gains in a tough market. Because, it's that reverse mortgage out over 30 years. So there's a lot of things to do that people aren't preparing for. You have to be cautious because the debt is going to destroy the dollar at some point. Mm-hmm. But we're a little ways from that over the next year. We'll have many conversations, I'm sure, before that happens.
Yeah.
But the equity market is extremely risky, though. I think that when they start to signal that they're going to have to back off, hold on, we got another lift, because there's a potential Minsky melt-up forced into this system.
Yeah, so you're thinking...
I may be overstating it, but...
Yeah, Minsky melt-up, well, the debt, some debt's got to go somewhere, right?
Well, the money will be printed. It will be created. And then that money will end up in the markets in some way, especially if the markets are guaranteed with new facilities. Mm-hmm. And that's what this Federal Reserve is going to be forced into having to do. It's the old Fed put, but it's a different form. It'll actually be different facilities. There's just no choice. The amount of debt is just too astounding. And it isn't just the $84 trillion in unfunded liability. The fiscal gap in the United States is $210 trillion. And that's money we've guaranteed as contingent liabilities with all these emerging market countries to get them going. Mm-hmm. They're now in trouble. That we come back as the holder of the debt of the guarantee. So what are we going to do with that? We're not going to let the world is not coming to an end. It just says that these central banks are going to be forced into doing what I'm suggesting they're going to do. As an investor, it's all about timing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to be some huge swings and roundabouts. It's like right now, everybody's panicking in the stock market because it's down another 300 or 400 points today. And we've had this tough bend on it. But if you really look at the long-term charts, it's not too significant in a long-term trend channel. And there's more downside here in the short term as we fear. And then the Fed starts to signal and away we go again. I think that's what we'll probably see.
All right. Well, interesting times ahead.
Do you agree with me?
Yeah, well, I see that it's just a question of how it unwinds, but it's going to unwind. I don't think there's any question about that. So how is it going to happen and when? And what will be the response of the government to this? Remember back in 2007, then into 2008, and we had the Lehman meltdown and bankruptcy and all that. And I think in retrospect, if the powers that be had it to do over again, They would have never allowed that to happen. And the question is, will they jump the gun here now and bail everybody out rather than see rather than to hold people to account? That's the question, right?
Oh, people won't be held to account.
Yeah.
I thought those days are behind us.
Yeah, accountability, that's a thing of the past. Accountability.
Then they will come in and bail out. The question is, will the cattle be out of the barn too soon? Will the gate be left open too long? Right. Mm-hmm. And because if they don't react, mm-hmm. this is a global issue. The fractures and cascading could be just phenomenal. And I do believe they're aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to coordinate it on central with these central banks is problematic. We'll see. So the volatility, the one thing you do know, volatility in mm-hmm. 2019 is going to be with us.
Yes, we know that for sure. And I do agree with you.
They'll print the money.
And the market's going to bounce back. Maybe it's a melt up or a partial melt up, but they're not going to let it just go. Anyway, Gordon, hey, where do we find you these days on the web?
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Kerry. Yes. MatasII.com, MatasII.com. We do macro technical analysis and all the mm-hmm. things we just talked about. We spend a lot of time tracking, especially the credit markets.
All right. Hey, and as always, we'd love to hear from you. Email us, kl@kerrylutz.com, Twitter feed @KerryLutz, and Facebook page Financial Survival Network. Gordon, always great to speak with you. Thanks for shedding some light there. We'll talk to you again real soon. You be well.
Have a great Thanksgiving, Kerry. Bye.
You too there.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.